World War II, Through a Child's Eyes, by Juan Francisco Lara. My earliest childhood memory is marching back and forth between Post and Lyon Streets in San Francisco, California. My maternal grandparents lived on Post Street. We lived around the corner on Lyon Street. The two-story flat still stands at attention. Post-World War II San Francisco bustled with the energy of a nation that had triumphed in the face of once invincible foes, the Nazis in Europe and the Japanese in the Pacific. No one ever took the Italians seriously as an Axis power, and they didn't trust the Russians anyway. Worry about the Chinese, they warned. We were a Navy family. I felt very unpatriotic because I did not have a chance to serve. But I was told not to worry because a war came along every 5 to 10 years. They were right. Some of my younger uncles served in Korea. My generation had to wait for Vietnam. It came too late, however, because I no longer wanted to be counted in that way. My brother never lost the ideal, and he donned a pair of wings. My sister, she didn't have an option. My father hadn't been dead 20 years, and one son had abandoned the sea, which my father loved dearly, while the other joined a generation that said it was patriotic not to serve. We had to relocate from Lyon Street into what we called the Little House on Lower Haight Street, because the Japanese Americans, who had been imprisoned at Manzanar and other internment camps, had been released and were returning to their homes. The Little House was actually a small basement room that had an A after the number, 632A Haight Street. My mother renamed it the Little House to hide our embarrassment. It didn't make sense. From what I had been told, we had beaten the Japanese Empire, but they now were relocating us. Before we left our home on Lyon Street, I met the Japanese lady who had returned to her flat. She offered me cookies. I shouted at her, "Pisspot, Jappy upstairs." I doubt that anyone would have thought it was unpatriotic, especially those who had lost a son at Pearl Harbor. I'll never forget the expression on her face. My words had thrust a bayonet straight through her heart. I never had a chance to tell her, "I'm sorry." She was an American. We were Americans. We, too, would one day feel a bayonet thrust through our hearts when we were called dirty Mexicans. When I first went to kindergarten, kids laughed because I didn't know about Jack and Jill and Mary and her little lamb. My teacher asked me to recite a nursery rhyme. I stood proudly and said, "Pisspot, Jappy upstairs. Uncle Sam burnt Hirohito's butt with a big mushroom flare." The teacher slapped my face. It burned. I held back tears. Boys didn't cry. I thought that I must have missed a word, and so I sang, "A mademoiselle in gay Paris lifted her skirt," and what did I see? When she slapped me a second time, I sat down. My uncles had always given me candy when I recited their rhymes or sang their songs. They let me hold their medals, raise a rifle to my shoulder, lunge with a bayonet, or wear the cape that one of them had taken from a dead Japanese officer. I was born to be a warrior, to lead an army, to command a ship. Why did World War II end so early? My teacher was amazed that I learned all of the nursery rhymes quickly, and she praised me. She never knew my secret. I had matched each nursery rhyme to a military maneuver. The ants, the army ants, did go marching one by one. Chicken Little knew that bombs fell from the sky. The three men in a tub fired torpedoes and sunk every enemy ship. And Jack had to be nimble to jump over a landmine. During the post-war years, the Civil Defense still conducted air raid drills in the evenings. We laid on our army surplus cots and pulled our surplus blankets over our heads. My blanket told me war stories, like the one about Midway or D-Day. Its warmth gave me the strength to raise the flag on Iwo Jima. I held it tightly as we raced in search of the desert fox in North Africa and huddled with it in the underground during the Battle of Britain. On nights, when we didn't have drills, I would count the fleas. My mother hated fleas more than she hated the devil, because it made her feel poor. I made a treaty with the fleas. I'd spare them if they'd bite another member of my family. The fleas broke the treaty with me before it was signed, and so I executed them between my fingernails. My father died in the little house when he was 27 years old, 4 years after the war ended. I awoke one morning, and my mother told me that he was dead. His bodily fluids had stained the sheet, but I saw an oil slick. I imagine what really happened. A Japanese submarine had slipped under the Golden Gate Bridge, fired a torpedo, and sunk his ship. It didn't know the war had ended. I assumed command and passed the word, "All hands, bury the dead." I ordered the firing party to fire 3 volleys, played taps on my bugle, and saluted. Our parish priest had the last words as my father's body fell into the sea. "In paradisum deducante angeli," may the angels lead you into paradise. Returning GIs and sailors and Marines told us stories about the savagery that they saw in Europe and in the Pacific. Every morning they thanked God for sparing them, and every evening they cursed God for letting their guilt for surviving rule the night. I smelled the burning flesh of non-Aryans in the ovens, and I looked at every survivor's forearm. Did a coat sleeve or dress shirt with French cuffs hide a series of fading numbers which the Nazi SS had tattooed on their skin? When a passing adult puffed on a cigarette, I recoiled because I saw chimneys and heard millions of cries that eventually crowded my dreams. I lived and relived every battle as a child. My courage was tested on the day that I had been dragged on my knees down the street. I had been sitting on the rear fender of a car and didn't hear the owner start the car. When he shifted from first to second gear, I was thrown and I grabbed onto the fender. To this day, my family retells the story and laughs and says I was a stupid child for not letting go. But they've never heard my side of the story. Actually, a German panzer tank had broken through our line of defense at the San Francisco Presidio. To escape, the tank commander gunned the engine, jolting me, but I grabbed onto it. Neighbors ran alongside the tank shouting for the police, the military police. The MP stopped it one block later and captured the tank commander. An army medic, they thought he was an ambulance driver, saluted me. He gave my mother mercurochrome to swab my knees. This was a mercury-based antiseptic that supposedly prevented scarring. I had earned a Purple Heart, but no one ever recognized my valor. Years later, after World War II had become a chapter in a U.S. history book, I stood in front of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. This is where I should have received my Purple Heart. But over the years, I came to realize that it was not mine alone. It belonged to the millions of children like myself who had survived the war by creating stories which gave meaning to their experience. World War II had scorched the meadows of our childhood and incinerated our innocence. I returned to San Francisco and planted a cherry blossom tree in memory of the Japanese lady who had offered me cookies. And to this day, lest I forget, I still wear a dress shirt with French cuffs. World War II, Through a Child's Eyes, by Juan Francisco Lara.